This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oh, which way the pendulum will swing?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of news items playing the markets today. For one, we have bank stress test results that are set to be made public this week. And we have Ben Bernanke, Federal Reserve Chairman, speaking today before a joint congressional committee and outlining what's wrong, perhaps what's right, with the economy. First, Tamara Keith and the Fed Chairman preview.
Bernanke is likely to tell members of Congress that there are signs of life, but it could be a long time before the economy returns to normal. The Fed has been deeply involved in trying to restore a healthy flow of credit and get banks lending again. It's thrown trillions of dollars at the problem, something Bernanke is likely to be quizzed on. On Thursday, the Fed is scheduled to release the results of stress tests conducted on the nation's largest banks. Reports this morning say 10 of the 19 banks put to the test will be told they have to raise additional funds. The idea of the stress tests is to ensure banks have enough capital to keep lending, even if the economy continues to tank. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
As Tamara mentioned in her report, those stress tests are being are big news again today, and the need for at least half the banks to bolster capital, the banks being, of course, tight-lipped until results are out. Ahead of all that, bank stocks surged yesterday as investors started to believe the crisis isn't as bad as they thought it would be. The Dow gained more than 210 points, 2.5%, closed at 84.26. The NASDAQ up 2.5% as well. S&P 500 shares up 3.33%. Asian markets were mostly up. Hong Kong shares added 0.3% today. European markets are ahead for the most part. The FTSE's up now about 3%. Digital book readers have helped reignite the printed typed word, and Amazon's got a new one coming out for newspapers and textbooks that publishers hope will do the same. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
You can read newspapers and magazines on most e-readers now, but the small screens can make it difficult. The new bigger Kindle is expected to be loose-leaf sized and could be bendable. No matter how many bells and whistles, though, blogger Om Malik with GigaOm says e-readers won't halt sagging newspaper and magazine subscriptions. But he says academic journals and textbook publishers could get a boost from a larger digital reader.
I remember carrying around like a 4-pound chemistry book. I mean, if there was something like a Kindle, life would have been great.
The current Kindle costs about $370. That would make it an expensive gadget for many students. Amazon won't comment on the new Kindle, but the company has planned a news conference for Wednesday. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The iPhone is so yesterday. Well, at least that's what researchers at the NPD Group found out. The Apple smartphone was outsold by the BlackBerry Curve for the first quarter of the year. Curve sales got some help with a buy one, get one free promotion from Verizon. Plus, the phone is carried by all four major wireless carriers. The iPhone has an exclusive deal with AT&T.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. American Public Media presents documentary reporting on the economic crisis, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
Today, we're going to hear from the Treasury Department on the size of its latest bond sale. It could reach almost $100 billion worth of T-notes. But finding buyers won't be as hard as you might think. One reason is because many corporate bonds are literally turning into junk. And that's hurting the economy and doing damage to a lot of portfolios. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Corporate bonds are essentially IOUs that companies issue in exchange for cash. The borrowers are businesses of all kinds, from Macy's to Dr. Pepper to Rubbermaid. Marilyn Cohen of Envision Capital Management wrote a book called The Bond Bible.
The bond market is so much larger than the equity market. It is the lubricant of the world.
Right now, you won't be surprised to hear that lubricant isn't working as well as it used to. Diane Vaza is head of global fixed income research at Standard & Poor's, which rates bonds so investors know what they're buying. Vaza says in the first quarter, S&P downgraded 93% of the bonds it rates.
In my 30-year career, this is the worst, really, that we have seen in terms of corporate credit risk.
It's easy to figure out the reason, says Marilyn Cohen.
Many corporations are getting downgraded in their credit quality because business is terrible. Their earnings are down, their profits are down, their revenues are down, and their ability to make these timely interest payments is deteriorating faster than a speeding bullet.
That doesn't necessarily mean that all those downgraded companies will default on their debt or go out of business. Just that many of them won't have the money to expand operations anytime soon. In fact, this wave of downgrading could trigger another round of layoffs because borrowing becomes much more expensive the lower the ratings go, says S&P's Diane Vaza.
You know, once they're downgraded, companies have been over the past year paid an average of 12.5% more.
The companies that fall from an investment grade rating to a junk rating are called fallen angels. In March alone, 17 borrowers joined that list. That's three times more than a typical month. Marilyn Cohen says for most of those companies, a reascent is unlikely.
If you happen to remember that commercial, "I've fallen, but I can't get up," when a company goes from investment grade to junk, they rarely crawl back to investment grade.
That's not just bad news for the company involved. It's also bad for some investors who are required to sell and probably take a loss when a bond is downgraded to junk. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Hey, hope you can visit us at our website, marketplace.org. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is there with a scratch pad. All inside our website. Hope you can visit us there, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.